This week's parsha is Parsha Sazria, and in Parsha Sazria we have the laws of Negoim. Negoim are spots, usually white spots, that a person finds on his body. And if that spot is deeper than the flesh, then this is considered a nega. Normally people call it leprosy, but that is the wrong name, so we are going to call it nega. And in chapter 13, verse number 2, it says that when this person has this spot, v'uvo alahar nakoyen, he should be brought to Aharon, the priest, o yalachad mibonav akohanim, or to one of his children, the priest, and the kohen is going to look at this nega, and the kohen will decide that if it is a white spot that is deeper than the skin, then the kohen will proclaim him tameh, impure. But if the white baheres of the skin of this flesh and its appearance is not deeper than the skin, and it has not changed to white, then the kohen will quarantine him for 7 days, and afterwards he will see again. If it is expanded, then he'll proclaim him tameh, contaminated, and if not, he'll lock him up 7 more days. We see from these verses 2 things. The first thing we see is what Rashi points out, that we have to bring it to Aharon. Rashi brings it down from the Torah's Kohanim, which Torah's Kohanim says that Zeres HaKosuv Hu She'ein Tumas Negoim V'Tarosom Elo Alpi Kohen, meaning that there is a decree from Hashem that the purification and the contamination of a nega could only be through a Kohen. And the Torah's Kohanim goes so far that Torah's Kohanim says Keitzat Chacham Shabbat Yisrael Royes HaNegoim, that a Torah sage would look at the Nega, and it tells the Kohen, Afal Pi Shehu Shoyta, even though the Kohen is a ignoramus and he doesn't know what's happening, Emoir Tome, say Tome, Veyoimer Tome, and the Kohen is required to say Tome. Torah scholar looks at the Nega and he thinks that it is pure, then he tells the Kohen to tell the person that he's pure, and the Kohen has to proclaim it that he's pure, meaning that everything has to go only through the Kohen. It cannot go through a Torah scholar or an expert in Nega. The Kohen, even though he's an ignoramus, he has to proclaim if this Nega is Tomeh or Tar. So our first question is going to be, why does it have to be specifically by a Kohen, that only the Kohen could proclaim the Nega Tar or Tomeh? And the second question that we are going to ask is that it seems that everything is divided in 7 days. We lock him up for 7 days, and afterwards, if you're not sure, we lock him up for another 7 days, and if he's contaminated, then he has to be locked up for 7 days. Everything is a portion of 7 days. Why is 7 days so important? And the third question that you are going to ask has to do with Parshas Metzora, in chapter 14, verse number 13, where there, after the person who has a nega is about to purify himself, it says that he has to bring a guilt offering. The verse says, "V'shachat es hakeves b'mkoima sheishchat es hachatos v'soilo." You should slaughter the lamb in the place where he would slaughter the sin offering and the guilt offering. B'mkoima koidesh, in the holy place. Kikachatos ha'oshom, because like the sin offering is this guilt offering, hu la'koyen, that is to the koyen, koydesh kadoshom hi, it is the most holy. Meaning that we should slaughter in the north side, in the same place where you slaughter the sin offering and the elevation offering. Our first question is, why does the Torah need to tell me that I should slaughter the guilt offering in the same place that I'm going to slaughter the sin offering and the elevation offering? Why couldn't the Torah just say that I should slaughter the guilt offering in the same place that I'm going to slaughter the sin offering, since the verse continues and says, Kikachatos ha'oshomu, like the sin offering is the guilt offering? Why bring in the middle the idea of the elevation offering? The other question is, why don't you just write down that you are going to slaughter it in the north side? Why you have to write down that you're going to slaughter it in the same place that you are going to slaughter the sin offering and the elevation offering? Write down exactly where you're going to slaughter which is in the north side of the Mishkan or the north side of the Beis HaMikdash? Why compare it to the sin offering and the levation offering? Why not say it directly in the north side? Rashi is already bothered by the question, why does the Torah need to tell me again where I'm going to slaughter the guilt offering? This idea where we are slaughtered the guilt offerings, it's already written previously on Vayikra chapter 7, verse number 2, that the guilt offering is always slaughtered in the north side. Why you have to tell me again here that you have to slaughter the guilt offering in the north side? Rashi answers that you may have thought that this guilt offering is different than other guilt offerings, because in regards to this guilt offering, it's written in chapter 14, verse number 11, that the Kohen should stand up the person who is purified together with this offering, together with his lamb, on the door of the Oel Moed, which is the gate of Nicanor, because the procedure is going to be done there. Therefore, you may have thought that you could slaughter it there. Therefore, the Torah has to tell me that even though he's standing up there and you have to do the procedure of the wave service there, nonetheless, the slaughtering is done in the traditional place where the guilt offerings are slaughtered on the north side. Our shir today is going to be from Sefer Shemeroish, and Sefer Shemeroish gives a little bit different explanation on Rashi's word. And Sefer Shemeroish starts by first bringing the Gemara in Soita, the Aflamet Beis, Omet Beis, 32b, where there the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan says the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Miprama tiknu tefila belachash. Why did the people of the Great Assembly, the Anshe Knesset Gedolah, establish that you should pray quietly? Why not pray with a normal voice or a loud voice? The Gemara there answers, Shelo levayesh es oivre avera, not to embarrass those sinners that want to confess their sins in prayers. Therefore, the rabbis established that you should pray quietly in order not to embarrass them. How do I know that the Torah is careful not to embarrass somebody who sinned? Sharei lecholak hakosof mokom ben chatos loila. You see that the Torah did not distinguish a separate place between a sin offering and an elevation offering. An elevation offering normally is brought as a gift to the temple, as a donation to the temple, not because you did something wrong. And the sin offering is done because you did something wrong. The Torah tells you that you should slaughter the sin offering in the same place where you slaughter the elevation offering, in order for the person who brought this animal should not be embarrassed that people are going to think that he is a sinner. Because since it is slaughtered in the same place, nobody will be the wiser why he brought this animal. People will think that he brought this animal because this animal is an elevation offering, and they won't know that this animal is a sin offering. The Gemara continues and asks many questions, and one question that the Gemara asks is that there is a big difference between a sin offering and an elevation offering, meaning that the sin offering, it's a female animal, where the elevation offering, it's a male animal. Then what difference does it make that you are slaughtering the sin offering in the same place where you slaughter the elevation offering? Anybody who looks at them will automatically know if the animal is a sin offering or an elevation offering, because a sin offering, it's a female, and an elevation offering, it's a male. The Gemara answers that since a female sheep has got a thick tail, then the tail of the sheep will cover the female part of the sheep, then nobody will know if this sheep is a female sheep or a male sheep, because the tail will cover it. The Gemara asks a question, that is very good if the person is bringing a sheep, meaning a female sheep, then the tail will cover it. But what happens if the person is bringing a female goat where the tail is not as thick, and then everybody could tell that this is a female animal, then the person who brings this animal will be embarrassed? The Gemara says that this is the person's own fault. Nobody told him to bring specifically a female goat. He should have brought a female sheep, meaning that he brought the embarrassment on himself by bringing an animal that could be so easily distinguished between male or female. He should have brought a female sheep. The Gemara asks, that is okay if it is a sin offering where you could bring a female sheep. But what happens if somebody makes a sin offering of idolatry, where then he's required to bring a female goat, then what good is it that it is slaughtered in the same place where you slaughter the elevation offering? People will automatically know that this goat is a female, and they will know that it is a sin offering. The Gemara answers that in that case, since this female goat is to atone for the sin of idolatry, then we want them to be specifically embarrassed in order that the embarrassment should atone for his sin. Meaning that when you bring a female goat for the sin offering of idolatry, then we want you to be specifically more embarrassed in order that the embarrassment should atone for the sin of idolatry that you did, since it's such a great sin. That is the Gemara in Soita. According to this Gemara, Sefer Shemer Rosh says that this could be the meaning of Rashi. Because since we know that somebody is a Metzoira, somebody who has his Nega, it's written on chapter 13, verse number 46, Kol Yemei Asher Yanega Boy Yitma, that all the days that he has a Nega, he should become impure. Tomehu, he is impure. Badot Yeshev Michutz Lamachna Meshavoy, he should sit alone outside the encampment, should be his residence. Rashi explains, Tome Ikra, that the person has to actually say to everybody else that he's Tome, meaning that he has to pronounce and make a public declaration to everybody that he is Tome, in order for people to separate from him, because he has to remain alone outside the encampment. And also, since we put this person in isolation, then obviously everybody knows that this person is a Metzoira. And the Gemara in Erchin, Daf Tazayin, Omed Alev, writes down the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that one of the main reasons why Negoim come on a person, why the person gets this affliction, is because of Lashon Hara, because he spoke evil reports on somebody else, he gave derogatory remarks on somebody, therefore he receives this affliction. And in regards to Lashon Hara, the Gemara in Erchin, Daf Tazvav Omed Beis 15b, writes down, Tanu Devei Rabbi Shmuel, we learned in the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel, Kolam Esaper Lashon Hara, that anybody who speaks Lashon Hara, derogatory remarks, Magdil Avoinois, Keneged Sholosh Averis, proliferates iniquities equivalent to the three cardinal sins, Avoides Kechovim, Gili Arois, Shvichas Domim, idolatry, immorality, and murder, meaning that if you speak derogatory remarks, it's tantamount of you committing idolatry, and the Gemara brings verses to this effect. So we see that this person spoke Lashon Hara is tantamount of making the sin of idolatry. And in regards to idolatry, we mentioned previously from the Gemara in Soita that we want to publicize the person who sinned, because we want that through his embarrassment he should get a greater atonement. Then here in our case, where the Metzoira is standing next to the animal, and everybody already knows that he is a Metzoira, everybody already knows that he had this Nega on him, and everybody already knows that this animal is the one that he is bringing, then you would have thought that you should slaughter it right there in front of everybody, because we want him to be embarrassed, because through his embarrassment he is going to get greater atonement. Nonetheless, the Torah tells you that you should slaughter this animal in the same place where you slaughtered the sin offering and the elevation offering, meaning that we want to cover up and make sure that he doesn't get embarrassed, because you'd have thought that in this case you could slaughter it right there, because we want him to get embarrassed, and because everybody already knows he's a sinner, therefore we shouldn't care where we slaughter this guilt offering. Therefore, the Torah has to tell you that you should slaughter this guilt offering in the same place where you slaughter the elevation offering, and in the same place where you slaughter the sin offering, in order not to embarrass this person. And the question becomes, that is very nice, the Torah tells you that you don't want to embarrass this person, therefore you slaughter it in the same place where you slaughter the elevation offering, because the elevation offering is a gift and nobody is going to find out that this is a guilt offering. But in our case, Everybody already knows and everybody already understands that this is the guilt offering of the Metzora. Then what is the point really of slaughtering it in the same place where you slaughtered the elevation offering? Why not slaughter it right there in front of him, since everybody knows already? Sefer Shemeresh explains that this is really a message for the Metzora, meaning that a lot of times the reason why a person would speak derogatory remarks on somebody else is because this person saw that somebody else did something wrong, did a sin, and he believes that there is a mitzvah to disclose, to publicize the people who do the sin. In the same way, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Vav, Amud Beis, 86b, writes down that Mefarsimim es achanofim mipnei chilul Hashem, meaning that we are required to expose the hypocrites because otherwise will come out a desecration of Hashem's name, because a hypocrite is somebody who is wicked and he pretends to be righteous, and if Hashem will punish this person, everybody will think that Hashem is punishing the righteous. Therefore, we are required to expose this person, and exposing this person is by speaking derogatory remark on this person. Then this person who had an ego, he spoke derogatory remarks and he believed that he's doing the right thing, but in truth, he's not doing the right thing, because the Chafetz Chaim writes down many conditions and many rules when you are allowed to expose another person. As a matter of fact, we could see from the story in the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Kaf Yud Gimel Amud Beis 113b, where the Gemara says, Shloisha Kodesh Baruch Hu Sanon, the three people Hashem hates. The first one is a medaber echad bepeh ve'echad belev, one who says one thing of his mouth while meaning another thing in his heart. And the second thing is ve'yodeya idus chaveroi ve'enu maidloi, somebody who knows testimony affecting his friend but does not testify for him, meaning he knows that somebody borrowed money and he does not testify. And the third thing the Gemara brings down, which is the one that we are discussing, one who sees his friend involved in a transgression and testifies against him alone, without a second witness. This is the third person that Hashem hates. The Gemara gives an example. Kiha de Tuvia Chato, like the incident where Tuvia sinned, v'aso zigud lechudei, v'asid beikamed Rav Papa, and Zigud came by himself and testified in front of Rav Papa. So what happened? Rav Papa told Nagde leZigud that they should administer lashes to Zigud. Zigud complained, Tuvia Chato v'zigud minget, Tuvia is the one who sinned, he's the one who committed the sin, and Zigud, me, I'm the one who gets the lashes. Omalei, Rav Papa says, yes, this is the rule, because it's written in the Torah, Devarim, chapter 19, verse number 15, Leyokim eid echot beish, that one witness should not stand up to testify against any man, meaning that you require to have two witnesses to make the person guilty. One person alone testifying cannot be trusted, and therefore, since he cannot be trusted, there is no reason for you to come to testify. The only reason you came to testify is to give Tuvia a bad name. Therefore, because you came to speak derogatory remark on Tuvia, you get the lashes. So we see that even though Zigud actually saw the bad thing that Tuvia did, nonetheless, it's prohibited for him to say that. Why? Because Hashem doesn't want to embarrass somebody who sinned. We require to dan lekaf zchus. We require to judge everybody favorably. Therefore, you should not come and testify. You should not embarrass the other person. According to this, Sefer Shemeroish explains that this is exactly the message that we want to give to this Metzora when he's bringing his guilt offering. Meaning that everybody knows that this person is a Metzora. Everybody already saw him outside the encampment, and every time somebody got close to him, he said, get away, I'm Tomei, I'm a Metzora. And also, we put the sheep right next to him, and we make him stand right there. So everybody knows he's a Metzora. But this Metzora himself may have thought that why is Hashem so harsh on him? he only intended for good intention, meaning he only publicized the sin in order for people to know that the other person is a sinner. Therefore, we say that we should take his guilt offering and slaughter it in the same place that we slaughtered the elevation offering and the sin offering, to show him that Hashem doesn't want a person to be embarrassed. Hashem is so careful that even though this person is a sinner, nonetheless, Hashem makes sure that nobody finds out he's a sinner. And Hashem tells that this sinner should put his offering in the same place they do the elevation offering, where they do the gift to Hashem. Therefore, this Metzora, by saying that even though everybody knows that he's a sinner, nonetheless, you see that Hashem doesn't want to embarrass a person. Hashem tells him to put it next to the elevation offering. Like that, he realized that maybe what he said embarrassed somebody, and Hashem, by his offering, is telling you that he doesn't want a person to be embarrassed, even though it's true. Because Hashem knows the sinner did a sin. Nonetheless, Hashem chose not to disclose to everybody the sin that he did. Because Hashem tells that the sinner should put his offering next to the elevation offering, where it's a gift. So too, this material realized that what he spoke was derogatory remarks and he embarrassed somebody. And this is exactly what Hashem doesn't want him to do. So therefore, even though everybody knows that this Metzora is a Metzora, we tell him to slaughter the offering where the elevation offering is, for the message for the Metzora. Not in order for the Metzora not to be embarrassed, because the Metzora is already embarrassed. He was outside the encampment and he had to declare to everybody, get away from me. But now the Metzora will see how careful Hashem is not to embarrass somebody else, and therefore he'll realize what is spoke against somebody else is derogatory remarks, and it caused them embarrassment. And Sefer Shemeroj now proceeds and brings the Mishnah in the Mai, the fourth Perik, where the Mishnah is discussing the Mai, meaning that normally a person, when he grows produce from his field, is required to give every year of the Shemitah cycle, of the sabbatical years, besides the sabbatical year, is required to give 10% of his field to the Levite, and that is called Maaser Rishon, the first tithing. And besides the 10% that he gives to the Levite, he is required to separate on the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, of the sabbatical cycle, another 10%, which that 10% he could convert on money, and he could go to Jerusalem and buy any food and drink that he wants. And that is called Maaser Sheni, the second tithing. And on the third and sixth year of the sabbatical cycle, instead of Maaser Sheni, instead of the second tithing, he is required to give Maaser Oni, a tithing to the poor, which means that he's supposed to give 10% to the poor, to the widow or to the orphan. All this tithing is besides the Truma, the 2% normally given to the Kohen. And the rabbis saw that most people gave away the Truma, the 2% to the Kohen, but people were very lax in giving away the 10% to the Levite, or the 10% to the poor, or the 10% needed to go to Jerusalem. Therefore, the rabbi said that if you are not sure if somebody gave away his tithe, you require to tithe it again by yourself. And that is called Dmai. That is called Do Mai. What is this? Meaning, was this already fixed? Was this already taken away 10% or not? So the Mishnah there says, Halokeach Perois Mimishein Nemon Alamasrois, that if you buy fruits from somebody who normally is not believed on giving away the tithe, and normally you would require to retithe that, the Shachach Leasram, but you forgot to retithe that, and now it's Shabbos, and now you want to eat those fruits on Shabbos, and you can't separate the 10% on Shabbos, because you're not allowed to do that, because you are fixing the fruits. The Mishnah says, V'shoyaloi b'Shabbos, and then you ask the person who sold you the fruits if he gave the tithe on Shabbos, then Yoichal Apiv, you may eat it according to what he says, meaning that if he says that he gave away the tithe, then you are allowed to eat it. Even though normally you wouldn't trust him, you'd be required to retithe. But since it's Shabbos and the person tells you on Shabbos that he tithed, then you could trust him and you could eat because you could trust him. So the Bartanura explains, why can you trust him on Shabbos? The Bartanura says the Eimas Shabbos Olav, because he has on him the fear of Shabbos, Shamisyarim Lavur Avera Uleshaker B'Shabbos Yoiser Mibachol, because the Amoritz, even though the person is not trusted of giving away the tithe, nonetheless, he would never lie on Shabbos, because he would lie during the week. If you ask him during the week if he tithe, then he would say he tithed and you can't trust him. But on Shabbos, the person who is suspected of not giving the tithe would never lie, and therefore you could trust him. So the question that Mefarshim asks is, why really can you trust him on Shabbos? The laws of lying are not different from during the week to Shabbos. Then why, when he tells you during the week that he gave tithe and you're required to re-tithe it because you can't trust that he's saying the truth, and why on Shabbos you could trust him on saying the truth? The laws don't change between Shabbos during the week for saying a lie, then how can you trust him? Sefer Shemer Rosh says that he saw in Sefer Haggadah Hashir V'Shevach in his Drashos L'Shabbos Haggadol that he brings the version of the Rosh in Psachim, the second perek, where the Rosh brings that the Chazal say, Kala Oimer Vayichulu Be'erev Shabbos, that anybody who says what is written in Bereshis chapter 2, verse number 1, Vayichulu Hashomayim V'Oretz V'Chol Tzevom, that the heavens and earth were finished and all their arrays, and the other psukim, that Hashem finished his work on the 7 days from all the work that he did, and he rested on the 7 day from all the work that he did, then the Rosh says that whoever says this Vayicholo in Friday night, Ki ilu meid al HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheboro Elomoy, is tantamount of him testifying on Hashem that Hashem actually created his world B'sheishes Yomim in 6 days, V'shavas B'yom HaShvi, and he rested on the 7 day. Meaning that when you say that, you are testifying that Hashem created the world and rested on the 7 day. Sefer Haggadah Hashir V'Shevach says that clearly when a person keeps Shabbos, then he, through his deeds, is testifying that Hashem is the creator of the world, and Hashem created the world in 6 days, and he rested in the 7 day. In the other hand, if a person does not keep Shabbos, then in a way he's denying Hashem's creation, and Hashem rested on the 7 day. And he continues and says that clearly when a person is about to testify in court, if he starts lying about other things, even though technically his testimony is not considered false because he hasn't yet testified and he hasn't lied on his testimony, but by the fact that he's lying on other things, when he comes to testify about what he wants to testify about, he's not going to be as believed. Meaning that people see that he lies all the time, then even though now he's testifying to the truth, he will not be believed. Therefore, this person who is Shomer Shabbos, who is keeping Shabbos, it's important for him that he does not say any lies on Shabbos, because his action is testifying that Hashem is the creator, and if he lies all the time on Shabbos, then he is sabotaging his own testimony by keeping Shabbos that Hashem is the creator of the world, because we cannot believe his testimony anymore by the virtue that he is always lying. Therefore, he explains that during the week, when you lie, then you are only transgressing and you're only corrupting your tongue. That is bad enough. But you only lie to yourself, and you're not lying when you are coming to testify. But on Shabbos, the day that you are testifying that Hashem is the creator, now if you lie on that day, you do two bad things. One bad thing that you lie, and that is bad enough. And the second, that by you lying, you're causing a doubt if Hashem really is the creator. Because we cannot trust you anymore that you are testifying that Hashem is the creator by resting on Shabbos. Because while you're testifying that Hashem is the creator, you are also lying. Therefore, we cannot trust you because during your testimony, you are lying. Therefore, people who are smart, they are very careful not to lie on Shabbos, because you want your testimony that Hashem is the creator to be in effect, to bring glory to Hashem. And by you lying, you not only do a bad thing that you lie, you're actually sabotaging your testimony that Hashem is the creator. So therefore, he explains, even people who normally would lie during the week regarding the tithe, they would never lie on Shabbat, because since they are keeping Shabbat, they are not going to lie and say that they tithe the thing, by that ruining his testimony. So therefore, they are more believed on Shabbat than during the week. Those are the words of Sefer Agoda Shir VaShevach. But Sefer Shemeroish wants to give a different interpretation on why on Shabbos you could trust somebody that is not going to lie. And he says that the reason why people lie is because they believe that words by itself are not something that you could punish for, because words are not action. There is no action done by words. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Chavav Omed Aleph 26a writes down that you're not allowed to misappropriate from holy things, meaning if you use a holy thing, you transgress that you misappropriate it. But koil, voice, mare, looking, and smell does not cause you to transgress that prohibition, meaning technically you didn't do anything. The thing is still there. Just because there's a voice, or you looked at it, or you smelled it, doesn't mean that you usurped it, that you used it. And therefore, a person may think that just the fact that he moved his lips is not considered an action. But the truth is just the opposite. Because the Gemara writes down in Shabbos, Daf Kof Yutes 119, Omar Abeliezer says, Menayin, how do I know, Shehadibur Kemasa, that words are like action. The Gemara says, Shenemar, because it's written in Tehillim, chapter 33, verse number 6, Bidvar Hashem Shomayim Nasu, by the word of Hashem the heavens were made, Uveruach Piv Kol Tzevaam, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts. So we see that Hashem created the world through speech. Then we see words aren't just moving your lips, words are considered action. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Menaches, Daf Choftes Omed Beis 29b, brings the verse in Yeshaya, chapter 26, verse number 4, where there it says, Bitchu b'Hashem adayat, trust in Hashem forever, ki beka b'yutke, Hashem tzur olamim, Hashem created world. Then the Gemara says that Hashem created this world and the world to come with the letters yutke. And the Gemara asks, what was used to create this world? The Gemara answers that since it says on Bereshis chapter 2, verse number 4, Ele toilus ha-shomayim va'aretz behi baram, that these are the products of heaven and earth when they were created, but the hey there is written with a small letter, therefore we say behi baram, that Hashem created this world with the letter hey. And if Hashem created this world with the letter hey, if you notice, the letter hey is just a breath. It's not really a letter that has a sound. And yet, that caused the whole action of the world to be created. Then clearly, when you say words, they cause an action. And also, Sefer Shemeroish brings what is written in the Mishnah in Avos, chapter 5, Mishnah 1, where the Mishnah there says clearly, that the world was created with 10 utterances of Hashem, meaning that it's written 10 times in the first chapter that Hashem said. For example, in chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Hashem said, let there be light. Therefore, we say that 10 utterances was what created the world. Therefore, since the person who is keeping Shabbos is testifying that Hashem is the creator, that means that he is testifying that Hashem created the world through utterances, through words. Then he's saying how words are important. Therefore, specifically on Shabbos, the person who is testifying that Hashem created the world through words, and the words are important, he is not going to lie on Shabbos, because he's going to make the words important. Therefore, even the person who normally is not trustworthy for giving tithe on Shabbos, since he wants to testify that Hashem created the world, he will never lie. Because on Shabbos, he sees the importance of words. Because since Hashem created the world through words, then clearly if he's going to lie, then he's going to show that the words are not important. Therefore, on Shabbos, you could trust somebody who normally is suspected of not tithing during the week, and if he tells you during the week, you cannot trust him. Therefore, also says Sefer Shemeroish, now we understand why a Metzoira has to wait a week. He's always locked up for a week. Normally, we always say that you have to wait 8 days in order for a Shabbos to pass by, meaning when somebody has a breeze, we have to wait 8 days because we want a Shabbos to pass by. Also, when an animal is born, we want to give strength to the animal, so therefore we make the animal wait 8 days before it could be brought as an offering. But here it's enough to be 7 days. Why? Because since you cannot see a nega on Shabbos, that means that the first day you could see is Sunday. Now if you lock him up for 7 days, automatically he has to go through a Shabbos. And the Torah specifically wants that the Metzora goes through a Shabbos. Because, as we mentioned, the reason this person became a Metzora is because he spoke Lashon Hara. He spoke derogatory remarks on somebody else. And the reason why somebody speaks Lashon Hara, derogatory remarks on somebody else, is because the person believes that he's not doing anything by speaking bad on somebody. He's just saying words. And words are not action. Therefore, the Torah specifically tells you that the Metzora has to be locked up for cycles of 7 days. Automatically, if he's locked up for cycles of 7 days, he is going to go through a Shabbos. Once he goes through a Shabbos and he keeps Shabbos, as the Rosh says, and he testifies that Hashem is the creator of the world, he created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. And how did Hashem create the world in 6 days? It wasn't through physical action, it was actually through words. Then the Metzora is going to realize the importance of words, that words aren't just moving of your lips, they actually make an action. Then the Metzora is going to come to regret what he spoke badly. He's going to do tshuva, he's going to repent. Automatically, if he repents, then he's going to be healed from his Metzora, from his nega. According to this, Sefer Shemeroish says, now we understand why specifically only the Kohen could tell the Metzora if he is Tameh or Tareh, if he's pure or impure. And the reason is, based on the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Dalet Omer Beis, 14b, there the Gemara says that the king Yoshaya sent to Huldah for prophecy. The Gemara asks a question, how can she prophesy when Yirmiyahu is around? The Gemara says that Huldah, the prophetess, was a cousin of Yirmiyahu. The Gemara asks a question, still, Yoshaya himself, how can he leave the prophet Yirmiyahu and go to his cousin? The Gemara answers, Amrad Ve'erab Shailo, the Academy of Shailo said, Mipresha Noshim Rachmonyosen, because women are more merciful than men. Meaning that the prophecy comes from Hashem, but it is different when the prophecy goes through Yirmiyahu or you would go through Huldah. Meaning that when you filter water, if you put a bitter filter, even though the water will be filtered in the same way, nonetheless, the water will acquire a bitter taste. But if you put the water through a sweet filter, even though the water will filter the same way, nonetheless, the water will acquire a sweet taste. Therefore, they explain that since Yirmiyahu was always rebuking the people and giving prophecies of doom to the people, then his prophecy, even though the prophecy was going to be the same, was going to have a bitter taste. Therefore, the king Yoshaya, he wanted to have a sweet taste. He went to Huldah, where through Huldah it will acquire a sweeter taste because women are more merciful. The prophecy will be the same, but it will be a more merciful way because it goes through Huldah, through this woman, which is more merciful. According to this, Sefer Shemeroish says that in the case of the Metzora, since Hashem wants that this Metzora should see the importance of words, therefore Hashem specifically wants that only a Kohen should be the one to say Tameh or Tareh. Because a Kohen, part of his job is always to bless the Jewish people, always to say good to the Jewish people. Therefore, Hashem chose him that because of the words that he always say to be the medium to tell the Metzora to be Tomer Otor. Because like that, the Metzora is going to see the value of words. Because Hashem chose specifically the Kohen, because the Kohen is the one that always blesses the people. And therefore, the Kohen, by the words going through him, could make even bad things sweeter. So you see that the importance of words, that because the Kohen always says good words to the people, that's why he was chosen here by the Metzora, and therefore, specifically, only the Kohen could tell Tame or Tar, even though the Kohen himself may not know if it's Tame or Tar, and somebody has to tell him to be Tame or Tar. So the whole procedure is for a person to realize the importance of words and should refrain from speaking Lashon Hara. And as we know, Lashon Hara is the main reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred, and usually the main manifestation of that is Lashon Hara, is derogatory remarks. And Hashem should help that this week where we read Parsha Sazria, where we stop saying derogatory remarks, where we take in mind how important words are, then we'll bring Ahavas Chinam, we're married to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, Bimheira Beyomeinu Amen.